Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 235. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
And how are you? What's going on?
that is a question that can fill an entire episode. So let's just say everything's going fine right now.
Sounds good to me. As you can see, I'm in a little bit of a different situation. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I go, you have a really good green screen going on right there because that looks legit.
Right? It looks all real. Here's how real it looks. I can reach out and, yeah, that's how real the green screen is. Look at that.
Wow. Wow. You are outside.
I am outside.
That's so not like you.
As you can see, because I'm already starting to sweat, but it's a lot hotter in my apartment than it is outside because I was away for a couple of days and I did not leave my air conditioner on. So.
Just.
I know.
Just, you got to always leave that AC going.
but it's nice out. Figure a little bit of a different avenue. You've done a couple episodes outside, I think, while we were doing videos.
We're
doing audios.
No. I definitely did a few outside. I did a couple outside, I think, with video. So
yeah. So, but we're here.
It's been a long time.
And maybe you might do it again soon.
We'll see. Who knows? My life is chaos. So anything
Chaos breeds contempt, but it also breeds freshness sometimes and newness.
Chaos breeds emeralds.
Get that right. That too. Oh, chaos emeralds. I get it.
Ah.
When I pass out with the heat stroke, just carry the rest of the episode.
Well, you know what? I think I can pull that off.
I think you could too. So, but we're going to get right into it. Some cool stuff we're going to talk about this week. But one thing I just want to mention real quick. Is that my I got a little kind of story excuse me to tell because even though I was away I still wasn't far from gaming and retro gaming and stuff, and one of my Kickstarter, not my Kickstarters, but one of the kick there is now or
now it's now, an episode that was,
ooh, I got a breeze going, this is awesome. One of the Kickstarters that I did, Indestructo Tank.
Okay.
It's a Game Boy game, a new Game Boy game that plays on, obviously, the Game Boy, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool. It's very much kind of like, I think it was, and correct me if I'm wrong, internet, it's kind of based on the gentleman who created it. It was more like a Flash game at first that he did on the web, mm-hmm. and then he converted it to this Game Boy game. So I did the Kickstarter. He's out in England. So, all right, cool. Got it. Blah, blah, blah. So I get a message from Kickstarter from the creator, and we'll put the link because I can't remember his name. I apologize. I don't have my notes or anything, but we'll put a link in the description. He was doing a live stream of him and his wife or his girlfriend or his friend boxing, making up the boxes, the Game Boy boxes. And he even said, this is going to be turned into a time-lapse video later on. So if you watch it in live time, it's going to be extremely boring. Which it was. Excuse me. So
right up your alley.
Basically. Yeah. Or as usual, even I can bring a boring show to a screeching halt, which I almost did. And not on purpose. So I tuned in, and I think I was the only one at the time. It was early in the morning again. They're over in England, I think. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching. All right. So they're just putting the boxes together. I'm like, cool. So I get in the chat, and jokingly, I'm like, ooh, is that one mine? And I'm like, ha, 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 you know, can't wait to get the game. So you know the delay that there is with YouTube and the chat and everything.
Yep.
So he's doing the boxes, and I seem like, you know, and lean in to read the comment. And he's like, oh, hey, more, because, you know, it comes up as more 365. So he goes, thank you for backing the Kickstarter. And then like, haha, this one is yours. And then he goes, you know what we're going to do? You know, more 365. We're going to do, yours is going to be the first game to be fully boxed from start to end.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All right. Well, it is what it is. You know what I mean? All right, cool. So they take another box. They start it from scratch. They're starting to do, they're folding the inserts. And now he's got to get up and find some stuff that I guess they weren't prepared for. So now he's off camera. And I'm like, uh-oh. I think I just ruined the flow of what was going to ultimately be a time-lapse video.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he's off. He's trying to find the inserts. He's trying to find my name in the instruction booklet to be nice, you know, to show on camera. He puts the game in, hoping that it's running. So now he's got to quickly test the game. Oh, and, you know, all because mine's the official first boxed
nice.
Car. He threw in a couple extra stickers, whatever, which is cool. But I'm like, oh, my God, I totally threw this guy off his flow.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's face it, Larry. I mean, that's, you know, you are that type of guy who would throw someone off their flow.
I felt so bad. And then the worst part about it is I had to leave in the middle of it. I couldn't stay to watch the rest, you know, of him boxing my box. Because he went all the way to the point of, you know, the shipping box itself. Oh, like, wow. He didn't print out the sticker. But that's how fun it was. So now that I'm screwing him up on that part, now I'm debating in my head, oh, gee, I wonder if I should ask him to sign it. But I'm like, you know what? Let me not push my luck.
No,
let me not push my luck.
Leave it alone. You've already destroyed his timeline. Well, the thing about the time-lapse video is when he does it, like, that'll go by so quickly that it won't matter.
True, but it's just going to be very odd. Like, oh, he's there. Oh, he's gone. Yeah. Oh, he's there again. No, he's gone. So,
well, at least you know where your moment falls in the time-lapse.
Yes, and I do feel kind of special because now mine is the very first Indestructo tank box that was completed from start to finish. So there we go.
Make sure you note that when you get it graded and sealed.
I should imagine, right? How do we know this is accurate? Well, here's the YouTube video.
Exactly.
Damn birds.
Are the birds attacking?
Almost. It's like the piping plovers at Breezy Point.
Yeah, lovely.
So I felt kind of bad for, but then when I went back and watched it, like, all right, it's not the worst thing in the world.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound too bad.
So it was cool. But thank you very much for the Kickstarter. Again, we'll put the link in the description. And looking forward to getting that. And I should be getting my Mega GT. Excuse me, my Mega SG, which is the analog Genesis. That should be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then my Dreamcast, which, Ant, you should really check these out on your systems as well. Because I forgot this happened. I had my Dreamcast hooked up, which was working fine. Don't get me wrong. But I had, every time I turn it off and turn it back on, I had to reset the clock.
Right.
And that is just like a very internal battery situation. I'm like, all right, that's not too much of a problem. I figure I can, after the discussions with Jake and all these things about modding, I'm like, maybe I can use these hands.
Who's Jake?
And fix my Dreamcast. Jack, I'm sorry, Jack.
Wow.
To be fair.
Wow. It's been what, 2 weeks?
It has. He already shipped my Genesis, so I'm not worried anymore. But to be fair, and I know it's obviously a spelling, but I've never seen an E in Jack. So I keep thinking Jake.
No, it's Jack.
I know it's Jack. I'm terrible.
Well, it could be worse. You could be saying Jacek.
That is true, which I almost did when I saw you spell it. But Jack's a cool guy. But when I was getting ready to break into the Dreamcast, I saw in the instructions also needed to solder. Some stuff. I'm like, oh, no, let me bring this back to the store.
Not doing that. No, sorry. So,
brought it back to game on. All it is just a small battery, internal, like, watch battery.
Yeah.
But it does involve some soldering. So I'm like, forget it. So my Dreamcast is gone for now.
Only I'm allowed to use power tools around consoles.
This is true. And only my favorite console.
See, boy, comma, virtual.
I might try and get that Virtual Boy up and running again. We'll see.
It's impossible.
I'm thinking. So the little things that happened over the last week, that was about it. I don't think I purchased anything. The only two games I bought
What?
I said the only two games that I bought this week.
You had me worried. I was worried you didn't buy anything this week.
Well, I gotta mention something. I gotta let those people out there know that I'm slowly filling up my apartment again. Alien Trilogy on Saturn.
Okay.
Which was really good. And the Simpsons game. Remember the Simpsons game? Had the yellow, it was the yellow box. It was actually the good Simpsons game.
Yes. Yeah. It was like a regular, like.
It was.
Yeah, 3D, yeah.
And it was fantastic, too. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting it on the DS because the Simpsons game on DS is actually more of a side-scroller than obviously the open 3D world.
Right.
Kind of like Sonic Colors when they announced Sonic Colors Ultimate.
Yep.
For all the new systems, Sonic Colors on DS or 3DS, whichever one it was, was more of a side scroller than an open world. Well, or 3D. So I'm like, all right, this is different enough. So I picked it up on the DS. Still has its, you know, it's still fun to play, still funny to watch. But probably my first DS game I bought in a long time. Like first physical newer system too. That was pretty cool. Add that to the list.
Well, add it to the list of, you know, things you just keep buying.
Well, we do a show about retro games. So
we do. Games. And I'm severely lacking in said retro shopping, but you know, stuff going on over here.
To be fair, you still have a lot of your old stuff anyway.
Well, that's a very good point, right? You're building your collection from scratch, whereas, you know, I kept mine and just continued to build.
I didn't have a choice. Hurricane Sandy chose for me.
That's very true. That is very true. So, but nonetheless.
Yes. No, please tell me about it. So, but other than that, you know, not much else going on. I want to talk about this real quick.
Okay.
I sent you the link to this, and I don't shop on QVC. My mother does.
Liar.
She loves QVC. I've never shopped on QVC.
Sure you don't.
But my mother, I think she's part owner of QVC at this point.
The other part owner is my mother.
So I got a link from Arcade 1UP. And Ant, I know you're going to have the descriptions here in a minute.
Yeah.
But I saw these cool joysticks from Arcade 1UP. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Because they sell like a Mega Man little system that you can plug into the TV and stuff.
Yeah.
So I saw this. It's a joystick, kind of like the plug and plays. But then I saw a picture of it. I'm like, that's not a typical joystick. How would you be able to explain this new, these new that I'm dying to get? Actually, now.
Well, they appear a lot more phallic.
well, it's a joystick.
it's definitely larger, but then they are also themed in terms of the design. So, depending on which one you are interested in, you have a nice little.
Does it have the dimensions, first of all?
Good question. So these joysticks are.
Listen to this, folks.
Wait, 13 inches by 13 and a half inches by 35 inches. And they weigh 15 pounds.
Yes. So 35 inches. How many feet is that? What, 12, 24?
That's 3 feet. Almost 3 feet. 11 inches.
A 3 foot tall joystick. It's like you're on the Joker's Wild.
Yes.
That's it.
I love that game show. That game show was awesome.
Joker.
Are you talking about the original one?
The original.
The new one, not with the Snoop Dogg.
No, I'm talking the one with what's his face? Who went? Joker.
Yeah.
And there was one even before that, too, I think.
Yes, it was. There was one before that.
Joker's Wild. Look it up. Fantastic game show. But it has this 3 foot tall joystick, almost taller than my godson, my godson's little brother.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine how to use it because it is very game show like. That's the first thing that reminded me. And I don't know if you use your foot to hit the buttons on the bottom to get things going.
I have I have no idea because I'm looking at the design of these.
It's not something you could put on your kitchen table. Well, you could. But
I mean,
it'd be very
awkward.
They have
a button.
Yes, it's one fire button.
Yeah, there's one fire button, and then they have a button for one to press for one or two players. So definitely,
I guess it's two. You know, it's like in the movies when the little rascals are driving a truck or something. You know, two of them have to get down to hit the gas.
Yeah,
then the other one's steering.
That's pretty much what it looks like.
Basically, how you're going to do this? And what are the two versions that they have on sale?
So the two versions that they have, and again, these are designed like the themed characters. So the first one is Pac-Man.
Very cool.
And again, like the top of the joystick is yellow, and the buttons are Pac-Man's eyes. So you got two.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay, cool.
So you got two buttons up there for the eyes, and then you have the fire button on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously painted yellow. It's got the Pac-Man logo up top. And then the bottom part of the joystick is Pac-Man themed as well, with yellow and the ghost characters. That's the first one. The second one, which is very interesting, is the Disney one.
There you go.
And again, it's got the joystick is, you know, resembles the Mickey Mouse color design, where you have the red half is the pants and then the black top, and it also has his ears. And again, two buttons up top. That's the buttons I'm assuming you use. And then it's got the regular fire button, and then the bottom looks like his pants.
Oh, again. Okay. So I was trying, when you said two buttons on top, like, are there buttons on the top of the joystick?
There are two buttons on the actual round part of the joystick. So when you hold it, like, both of your thumbs.
Okay. I literally thought you had to get to the bottom, like the base of the system. So you're playing something like this. No. Fun fact about Mickey, which I never really realized. I think they call it the Mickey Mouse effect or the Mickey effect. When you draw Mickey, no matter what profile of his you're looking at from, whether straight forward or the side or an angle, mm-hmm. his two ears are always straight up on top.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew that. Never noticed that.
Yeah, they never change. Like, you never get you never get the side view of it like this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which is very interesting. So now Pac-Man, we've seen hundreds of Pac-Man plug-in plays, Pac-Man arcade one-ups. The standard from the list of the Pac-Man games, I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary in them, right?
Well, there's nothing out of the ordinary, but it's the fact that you get to play it with a 3-foot-tall joystick.
No, agreed. So, totally agreed.
So the games on the Pac-Man machine joystick are Pac-Man, Pac-Mania, New Rally X, Galaga, Galaga 88, Dig Dug, Super Zevius, Rolling Thunder, Dragon Spirit, and Mappy.
Those are some tough games to play with a 3-foot-tall joystick.
I think that's the point, though. This is kind of a party game.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I don't think you would be sitting at home alone, unless your name is Larry, and playing with a 3-foot joystick.
Wow. I'm canceling my QVC order.
As you should. You already ordered it, haven't you?
No, actually, I have not.
Okay.
But I should send a link to my mother, QVC. Yeah. So.
You should. You should tell her. Be like, early Christmas gift. The Disney one is the more interesting one because of the games on the list. That's the one
I
want to
talk about. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen this grouping. Some of these games I haven't seen since their original release.
Yeah, and I think some of them were also handhelds, right?
Let's find out.
All right. So on the Disney joystick, you get Mickey Mouse Capade.
Right off the bat, that's a seller for me.
Yep. DuckTales.
Oh, man.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Okay.
Adventures in the Magical Kingdom.
Okay.
I remember that on the NES.
I do, yeah. Me
I think
too,
I still have it. Disney Princess. No idea.
Yeah.
Disney's Jungle Book.
Okay.
The Little Mermaid Magic in Two Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
The Little Mermaid. Lilo and Stitch 2 Hamsterville Havoc.
Okay.
And Nightmare Before Christmas, The Pumpkin King.
Ooh. So these sound like, NES, Super NES / Genesis games. Disney Princess, maybe an original.
They basically all sound like games that can only require you to use two buttons.
Oh, agreed.
So,
like NES.
I'm guessing NES and maybe like Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance.
True. But still, that lineup, I mean, DuckTales, Chippendales Rescue Rangers, right there alone is worth the price of admission. Mm-hmm. Mickey Mousecapades, I haven't played that game, which was at the time when I originally played, it was one of the most difficult games I've ever played in my life. But
it was a tough one.
A game I haven't touched in forever. But also probably one of the better Mickey Mouse games on the Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there weren't a ton of them. There weren't a ton of Mickey games, but that one by far, like if you asked me to pick one, I'd pick Mickey Mouse Capade.
Yep. So, I mean, if they were able, if that joystick was not 3 feet tall, but a normal size, I would totally pick that up for that lineup of Disney games. I mean, they're fantastic.
You act like you're not going to buy it. You're going to buy it.
I'm not going to buy that. That's more of a novelty. Not everything I buy is a novelty.
No, you'll buy it. Trust me. next time I break into your house, it'll be there.
You got to give me a new address so I can send you the bill for my front door.
Nope. All I did was come through on my promise, which is what I did. And I showed up.
Is a promise the hacksaw that you used to get through my door?
No comment on that. So anyway, so these two arcade one-up giant joysticks are currently going for $120.
The deal of the day.
Yeah, and I think only $7.50 shipping.
That's actually not bad.
That's not bad for a 15-pound item.
And what's weird is I can't find these controllers on the Arcade 1-Up website.
It could just be that they're currently exclusive to QVC.
Probably.
You know, probably. They may wind up on their website later.
Hopefully. So yep. But check them out. But really more, I mean, the novelty is one thing, but that, like I said, that Disney lineup is an amazing lineup. So
it definitely is. And now you've got me going down the QVC rabbit
what
hole.
What else they got?
So here's an item. Oh, it's our favorite, At Games. Remember At Games?
Oh, geez. They're still allowed to sell stuff?
On QVC, At Games Legends Gamer Pro Plug-and-Play Console. It's an entire arcade console strip with two joysticks and eight buttons on each side.
Kind of like the Capcom arcade stick that I have?
Kind of like the Capcom arcade. It's 32 inches long.
It is as long as the joystick is tall.
Basically. And it comes with 150 built-in games that you can play right away. It does not... What's funny, though, about it is that it does not have a list of the games.
I think for legal reasons, they should not be listing 150 games.
Yeah. Or they're all going to be like Mickey's Mouth Capade or something like that. Or Mickey's Rat Capade. It'll be...
Totally. When you see goldfish, you know, goldfish crackers, you go somewhere else and then whales.
Yes. So I just so happened to see that and I thought that was kind of funny.
All right, fair enough.
But anybody who wants those giant joysticks, hit up QVC. They are from Arcade 1-Up, so at least it's from a reputable company.
Yes.
That's the important thing out of that one. So
that's good.
And there you have it.
All right. Very cool.
Yes.
We'll take just a quick moment here. Any news or anything that you have? Anything that you've checked out?
Yeah, I got some news going on here. So we'll go through that. This might be a short episode.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm in transition again. So
uh oh.
Anthony's leaving Florida.
We marked that one on the calendar, folks.
I think this may be a record.
It might be.
Might be a record.
It's all right. It's all right. Off the bigger and better things.
Hopefully. So the little bits of news that I do have for this week. One is the Atari VCS, which Larry already owns, unless it destroyed itself.
Oh, yes. Nope.
Burning itself out.
Nope.
Didn't melt yet?
Not yet. I have a small space where it is. I got to move it, though.
All right. But it has been confirmed. Atari VCS will finally launch at retail this month.
Thank God.
You will be able to buy the Atari VCS at GameStop, Best Buy, Micro Center, and directly from Atari's website on June 15th. So around the corner. It starts, the regular price starts at $299.99. If you go with an all-in bundle, which adds the classic joystick and modern controller, it's $399.99.
About what I paid, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want
all right.
the Atari VCS, then that's what it's going to run.
That explains why there's more and more games on the shop.
Yeah, they're loading it up so they can sell this thing for $300. So yeah, because right now I can't like.
You can't justify a lot of the things that all this stuff is sold for.
Well, I can't justify what you spend your money on, but that's true. But I can't justify like a lot of these costs.
The Atari VCS again is good for an old school gamer who enjoys those old games.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it streams. You know, it's got like Netflix and everything on it. But I think the part they don't really key on is it is kind of open source. You can pretty much fiddle around with it. There is a whole section that makes it into a PC. So I think that's where it's really going to find its fan base is that with those.
Entirely true.
So.
I do not know. A couple other bits here. Since you were pointing out the 3-foot tall joystick, and then I just saw that At Games thing. There is another mini game system on its way that you may not have
really?
Heard of. This was announced a couple days ago, but we are now getting the Taito Arcade, with Taito Egret 2 Mini. So,
okay.
Taito games are like, they did a lot of fighting games. They did. I remember Bust a Move 2, the one where you shoot bubbles up?
That's, I love that. I love that series.
All right, that's Taito.
Okay. Wait, Taito.
Taito.
T-A-I-T-O.
I keep...
I know. It's the way it sounds.
I keep saying it phonetically. Taito. Yeah, well, because in Japan, a lot of times what happens is they always... Their syllables stop at every vowel. So
okay.
The way, so it's like Taito.
It might be pronounced Taito, yeah.
Yeah, so.
This seems pretty cool.
But anyway, so it's set up like the... it's set up like the Neo Geo one, where it's like a little arcade.
The little guy, yep.
Joysticks, got six buttons. That's how it's set up. So it's going to have 40 built-in games, right?
Okay.
And then there are going to be another 10 sold separately in an expansion pack that comes with a trackball controller.
Ooh.
For games specifically with trackball. There's also an SD card slot. So
probably how you expand it.
Yeah, in order to expand it. I believe if I'm looking at this correctly, it has an HDMI hookup, so you could hook it up to the TV if you want.
Excellent.
But it is set up, like I said, like the Neo Geo, where it does have a small screen. Cool thing about the screen, though, you can rotate the screen from landscape to portrait depending on the game you're playing.
That is awesome.
So instead of games getting stretched out, you can play them in the actual size they're supposed to be played.
That looks awesome. Who's selling it?
It's gonna be in Japan.
Oh man, stupid conversion rate. Yep.
It's the Mini is a modernized iteration of the original Egret 2, which was a full-size cabinet in 1996. So that's what the design looks like.
Like one of those white cabinets?
Yes.
Okay.
White cabinet. Okay. It's got like a pinkish purple kind of color.
Yeah, it's always got weird color schemes to them.
Yep. So, going to be released in Japan. Pre-orders are started already yesterday.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
For 18,678 yen.
Is that $190 maybe?
$170 close.
Oh, all right.
And it releases March 2nd, 2022.
Interesting. Is there a listing of games? Just name a couple.
No, they do not have a list of games. That's the only thing. Like, I went looking around to see, but just, I guess since they just announced it, they haven't dropped that information yet. You can pre-order it on Amazon Japan.
Oh, good. They're easy to ship through. Yes.
Yeah. Right, so cool.
Real quick.
Yes.
Yeah. No, because you mentioned Bust a Move.
Yes.
They are coming out with a Bust a Move VR game.
Really?
For the PS4.
With the bubbles?
Yes. And it is your... From your point of view, and you look up, and you got this giant collection above you, and you just fire in bubbles.
All right, that actually sounds kind of fun.
Yes, it does.
Which reminds me, I still haven't played Tetris Effect in VR. I did buy it.
You know, unless they update it to something different, I'm going to be honest with you, it's just really just having the screen in front of you. It's not like you're looking at falling bricks around.
Oh, see, I want bricks to crush me.
Yeah, it's not, again, unless they updated it.
If bricks aren't crushing me, then I'm not having fun. So
I'm going to wreck it. All right, that thing sounds cool.
Yeah, so again, the Taito Egret 2 Mini.
Okay.
Coming soon.
All righty.
All right, two other bits here, or maybe one. The other one's a list. We all know Nintendo's penchant for lawsuits, right? So,
they still like doing
it. Yeah, they're suing everybody. Well, a few days ago, there was a verdict in a case with Nintendo suing a ROM website for illegally selling their ROMs, and they won the case for $2.1 million.
That's gonna break the bank.
So the website ROM Universe is forced to pay $2.1 million in damages. Now the issue with here's the thing, and maybe this is why they specifically got sued, because they were charging a monthly fee for access.
Oh,
and
okay.
So they were making money off of the ROMs, and that's the reason why. So, right. So, the lawsuit dated back to September 2019. The site was making money from hosting the ROMs, charging users money to uncap accounts and have access to unlimited file downloads.
There you go. So, I'll do it.
Yep. Nintendo originally sued for $15 million.
This guy's living in his mother's basement. Right. Why are they doing this to him?
They sued for $15 million in lost sales, which they added was $90,000 for each of the 49 games they found on the site that were theirs.
49?
But then they wound up settling for the $2.1 million.
What kind of games? Like, were they Switch games or?
Let me look at this article. It doesn't say specifically.
All right.
What's interesting is that they settled because they said that the owner of the site never actually uploaded the ROMs to the site himself. He just hosted the content.
Okay.
So they settled for less. The ROM site is gone.
Okay.
Obviously, so you can't find it there. And let's see. Yeah, no, they don't really say which one. Let's see. A ROM can be used as the older game. Yeah, see, it doesn't really say which ones, but there were 49 of them. And Nintendo is now $2.1 million richer, while this guy is probably going to declare bankruptcy and not pay them.
Well, that's what you get when you play with the big boys.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough out there.
It is.
It's definitely rough out there if you're hosting and trying to make money. Illegally. The only other thing I stumbled across, and we've gone through things before, and maybe this will be the last thing we cover. I don't know. For this week, but a list of 8 of the rarest and most valuable video games ever. This is a site, gamemite.com, which I thought was interesting because it's a different site than we usually check out. and it's not in terms of like rare in the sense of like, you know, those boxed Marios that went for $500,000.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
No. Just a list of really rare games. Like if you come across them in the wild, it's like you hit the jackpot. Yeah,
literally, there's only 2 out there.
Yeah, exactly. So gotcha. like perfect example. Like the first one on the list is, and the reason why I like the list is there were a few games on here that I don't know. So
let's talk about it. Yeah.
So the first one on the list, I think everybody knows Stadium Events for NES.
Oh yeah.
So
I've actually had my hands on a Stadium Events.
You have like a sealed.
I was very happy.
A sealed copy. You know, is estimated 30 grand.
Yeah.
But interesting enough, if you just have the box for the game, it's worth about $10,000.
Really? Box alone?
Just the box.
Not even with the game.
Wow. Box without the game could be 10 grand.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. Interesting, as they point out in the article, one lucky woman found a copy of this in 2013 in a Goodwill store.
You got to hit those Salvation Armies, hit those Goodwills. You never know what's there.
Yeah, they just run into there. Okay, next one on the list, and I did know about this one too, but maybe some people don't. Tetris on the Sega Genesis.
Oh, totally. In fact, I don't even think it had an official release. Those may be like demo copies or something.
Yeah, Sega only made 10 cartridges, and they were only owned by the development team.
There you go.
One signed cartridge. Ooh. Sold for $1 million at auction back in 2011.
Wow. Signed by who? Did it say? Not by what's his face?
No, it does not say.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was the big deal about Tetris being on the Genesis Mini because it was never released. That and the Darius game.
Yeah.
Those two were never released till recently, actually.
Right. So if you have that Genesis Tetris, you're rich.
Big time, yeah.
Let's see. Moving on. Okay. This one I knew about too. Air Raid for the Atari 2600.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that one. Okay.
Yeah, there are only a dozen copies left out in the market, and the value depends on whether you have the box and the manual, but the cartridge alone is worth a couple $1,000.
Okay, I thought I saw those in Game On. I guess not. All righty.
Probably not. This one was interesting, too. The Lakers versus Celtics and the NBA playoffs for the Sega Mega Drive.
For the Mega Drive?
Now, This is specifically for the PAL version because I have this game.
I was going to say.
I have this game on the Genesis. The North American version is very common. But the Lakers versus Celtics, I think I have the Lakers Celtics. I don't know. I have like two of them.
Or Lakers Bulls, maybe.
Yeah, I have two. Celtics, I have two different ones. But the reason why this one's rare is because in the U.S. basketball is more popular, which is why they're more common. But in Europe, basketball is not as popular. So the game was never released in Europe due to licensing conflict.
Interesting.
And a couple hundred copies made it into the hands of collectors, only 13 of them are accounted for, which makes this one really rare. And the estimated price for that game, the PAL version, is around $10,000.
Oh, baby. So, all right. On the lookout for that one.
Yep. Okay. So Red Sea Crossing for Atari 2600, which I did not know.
Wait, what is it called?
Red Sea Crossing.
Ready? Bible game? Okay.
Takes the concept of Frogger and gives it a remix, allowing players to guide Moses across the Red Sea.
I will pay top dollar for that.
Okay, so the interesting thing about this game, it was first found at a garage sale and nobody thought it was real. Turns out that about 100 copies were actually produced by Inspirational Video Concepts. That's the name of the company that made it. Only two of them have ever gone up for auction, both attracting over $10,000.
Wow.
I want Red Sea Crossing. And you have to see that they have an image of the game. And it's Moses, but, you know, because Atari, the colors are very simple. Yeah, so it's like he's got layers of, like, his feet are light blue, his body is dark blue, his face is white. And then I guess I don't know if he's wearing a hat or whatever, but it's purple.
It's not Gandalf.
It's purple. It can't be his hair. I don't know what it is. And then he's holding his staff, the rod.
Yeah.
But the rod colors match his body.
It's got to be an easy yingles. All you got to do is be like, you know, part. And you just walk straight up.
Maybe they're Egyptians that you have to,
that's true. Maybe.
Like they're saying it's like Frogger, like you just see Egyptians going back and forth like this.
Alligator comes out of nowhere.
You never know. Hey, look, he may have parted the sea, but there were still animals in there.
That is true. That is true.
Next game.
Well, like in History of the World?
Yes.
He's held up.
I can't repeat what he says here, but oh my God.
Yes.
So next one on the list, also for the Sega Genesis.
Okay.
The Blockbuster World Championships 2.
Blockbuster had a lot of exclusives. You know, you forget how many games were only available through Blockbuster.
Yeah, so this game was published as a joint effort between Sega and Blockbuster and contained two games.
Okay.
Judge Dredd and NBA Jam and NBA Jam Tournament Edition. It was used for gaming tournaments across the world in the early 90s. As far as they know, only a couple of these exist, and they range from $11,000 to $16,000.
Just two odd games for tournaments. All right, maybe I get the basketball one, but Judge Dredd?
NBA Jam makes sense for a tournament. I don't know what they'd use Judge Dredd for. But maybe they were, you know what? I mean, it was Blockbuster. Maybe they were promoting the movie that way.
You're exactly. I can see Stallone somewhere. I am the game. I can't do a Stallone voice.
Yeah, terrible. Exactly.
Sorry. I used to be able to do that.
Please stop. There are two more on the list. One on the list for the Atari 2600. Again, a lot of Atari games. Birthday Mania for Atari 2600. The only reason why this one is valuable is because it was made to order.
Ooh, cool.
Back in the 80s, I don't know what a punter is, but it says punter. Back in
the 80s, a guy who has to line up the kick.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. Okay, so back in the 80s, people could contact developers to order customized copies of games for people's birthdays.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So Birthday Mania was created for people's birthdays. Only a few copies are in circulation. Prices range from $14,000 to $33,000.
depending on the name.
Exactly. If you have a name that people can't pronounce, it's worth more money.
Birthday Mania. I have to look that one up.
Only so many Johns. And then last but not least, also for the Atari 2600, a game called Gamma Attack.
Gamma? He's everybody. Yeah. He's children's friends around the world.
Yeah, I don't know. Gamma. God. Gamma Attack, made by developers Gamation Products. Only one copy of it is known to exist.
There you go.
Gamation Products were known mostly for peripherals and console add-ons. The game was originally thought to be a myth until a super collector, Anthony DiNardo, proved its existence because he had one.
And what's the guy's name?
Anthony DiNardo.
I know an Anthony DiNardo. It's not the same Anthony DiNardo, I know. But it's funny. I just
How do you know?
I know. I know him.
But anyway, the game itself is worth, or about, you know, estimated to be worth $500,000.
Wow. Wow.
Gamma Attack.
Gamma Attack.
Gamma Attack. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here? As an honorable mention, since they brought up Blockbuster on the list, do you remember how at Blockbuster you used to be able to rent a Nintendo 64? They had an N64 rental kit. If you have one of those with the instructions in the foam casing, you can get a good $4,000 for it.
Wow.
So
I've seen, I think they did it all jokes aside. I think they did it for the Virtual Boy as well. And because I've seen Virtual Boy cases, which I think were from Blockbuster, but I definitely 100% remember the N64.
Yeah, I remember the N64 ones too. And I used to go in and laugh because I was like, haha, I bought it at lunch.
You losers with no money.
Well, no, for those kids who were trying to rent it for the weekend, but they didn't have any. It's like, oh, poor baby.
I'll let you borrow mine for double the price.
Exactly. So so I thought that was a really cool list. And again, like I found like half of the games on that list I didn't know about. So that's why
The Birthday Mania I like a lot, just to be able to do that custom. Yeah, I mean, now it almost seems like anyone can do that, but back then in the 80s, to get a game with your name on it, that'd be amazing.
I would only want that game. I would only want that game where it's like, if I failed, like the candles on the cake set me on fire, burned to death.
It's no longer your birthday; you're dead.
Exactly. You didn't blow out all the candles in one shot. You're dead.
Can you imagine how much Jack's game would have been worth? I love it, Jack.
Yes.
and that's cool. You know what? I think that's a list we can close out on, in all honesty.
Yeah,
I think so. That sounds good to go. Of course, also, I'm getting very hot. So.
Yeah, I know. It's looking pretty hot out there.
And where can they locate us?
All right, guys. You can find us on Facebook.com/RetroGamersPodcast. You can find us on Instagram @RetroGamersPodcast, on Twitter @RetroGamersPod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can watch us on YouTube and IGTV. If you want to email us, email@theretrogamers.com.
And in a couple of weeks, E3 is approaching.
Yes.
Digital E3.
Yep.
Actually, fan registration is open right now. I don't know what that means, if it's virtual, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You can go register.
Yep. Looking forward to that. Definitely looking forward to that.
Gonna be a lot of announcements, and we'll check out what's going on.
Yep, and then next week I will not be present on the show. I will be in mid transition,
somewhere in Wyoming.
I will be somewhere. I don't know where I'm gonna be at this point. I think I'm just gonna drive to Fiji, because why not? So I will not be on the show next week. Larry will hopefully find a suitable replacement. I'm probably gonna swing by Larry's to reclaim the Miss Pac-Man high score. Since he couldn't let that sit.
What is it? 133 and change?
130 something. So, I need to come back and fix that.
Well, the problem is, if you come back, you're going to have to stop at someone else's house.
No, I'm not stopping there.
So, that high school is going to stay for a while because I'm deadbolting the door.
Okay. That's fine. You saw what happened to the Virtual Boy like a year and a half ago, right? I can make my way in.
Thank God people have seen that in person and feel my pain. They know what it's like.
Yes.
No parent wants to see their child buried. So with that said, folks, and enjoy your trip. Well, not trip, but good luck with your travels.
Thank you very much. And Larry, have a very good week.
Will do. And folks, I will catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.